This land is your land.
This is the Padded Room Podcast. My name is Darian. Who's this guy?
I don't know. Picked him up off the street.
It's multiple mics, ladies and gentlemen.
He was walking out there. I said, hey, you got somewhere to go?
Back from the proverbial dead. What's up with you, man?
I have risen. Sometimes they call me Lazarus.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
Who calls you that?
I'm the Lazarus Project.
Of what? What are you even talking about?
Oh, you don't know Lazarus?
No.
He was risen from the dead.
Very proud of you.
Your mom is, too.
Oh, is she? What's up with you, dude?
Oh, man, if I could just get through this semester.
How bad is it? Were you doing 12 credits?
12.
How bad is it?
Well, I nailed 6 the last 2 full semesters.
Yeah?
Took a 5-week condensed course, nailed that. This will be the first full-time. When I say full-time, double digits, you know, because it goes in multiples of 3, typically.
Riveting story.
So when you go in multiples of 3 for your courses, you got 9 and then you got 12.
You're going to keep going with this? Or?
Well, I was on the phone with your mom and she's like, when you get on with my son, tell him how fucking college works, please.
Okay, great. You want to do another 12 minutes on multiples of 3? This is the multiplication podcast.
Multiples where it's at.
Later on, we're going to do multiples of 5.
That's fucking base.
So what's up with you? How'd you like your Comic-Con adventure?
Oh, I almost forgot about being famous.
I put it on. I put it out there. My bit was mysteriously excluded from the entire presentation.
Well, yeah, because you're a stand-up clown. You had some funny bits, though.
I did. I think everybody thinks I'm some kind of a scumbag.
Were you shaking as much as I was?
Not really. I'm okay with public speaking.
Yeah, so am I, typically.
You were up there.
We were expecting how many people?
I was thinking like 3 or 4.
You almost walked out as soon as we got the crowd.
I walked in, 60 people. Goodbye.
No, thanks. Sorry, Kev. Well, I got invited to it. Didn't know there'd be this many people.
Yep. Sorry, folks.
I am not accepting my invitation.
I was not prepared to have you all looking at me.
I'm going to go try to find Daryl.
I will be at the snack bar having some nachos. Oh, you did good, man. I mean, you were visibly nervous, but other than that, you did fine.
Yeah, well, it was fun.
Yeah, have a good
time.
It
was fun. I'm glad I did it.
I wish I would have. Did you? Oh, you know what I found out? Our passes were all inclusive. We could have got autographs and stuff.
Oh?
That's a motherfucker. So you would think they would tell you this before you do it. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know we could go all 3 days either. We could have.
Well, yeah. I mean, Kevin sent us that mass email.
Yeah, like the night before. Hey, you guys can go all 3 days. It's fucking Saturday night, you dickhole. I don't
think that was like one of the best experiences I've ever had,
though. I don't think he knew either, to be honest.
Exactly.
So that's cool.
I walked around that shit like a boss after I did that panel.
I know. I was like, yep. You know, just got off stage. Whatever. You know, whatever.
Oh, y'all running around here in your costumes?
Let's get off stage. It's cute.
It's costumes, JV, bro.
I was invited to be here. How about that? You all had to pay.
So I'm a Sean.
Yeah.
She looked good, huh? Dude, that was one of the best costumes.
Michonne is our makeup girl from the independent film productions. She is a 17-year-old maniac, and she had a kick-ass costume. She was basically like a female Ash from Evil Dead. Made a chainsaw out of a gas can and something else. But it was very, very cool. She got Bruce Campbell to sign it. She's very excited about that. That's good times.
She's a little pistol, man.
She's something. Glad to have her on board.
Hell yeah.
I think I'm going to try to get her in here. Maybe do like a little family-friendly padded room with her.
Family-friendly good luck.
Yeah. All right. Enough about that shit. Let's do some horror news and such, huh?
Horror news.
Booyah. How about this? Bill Moseley is going to be playing Charles Manson in the upcoming feature Manson Girls.
He's going to be playing the wife.
I don't know. Charles Manson didn't have a wife, but good call on that one.
He does now.
Who?
Oh, you didn't hear about that?
Oh, you're talking about that 26-year-old? No, I'm pretty sure this is going to be set like during the time of the Manson killers. Have they actually gotten married? Do you know?
They're getting married in prison.
I heard she's hot, too.
Please.
No? I haven't seen her. Have you seen
anybody
her?
Anybody who's going to marry Charles Manson?
Crazy bitches are always hot.
I don't care how fucking hot she is.
I'm going to look her up right now.
Immediately loses all hotness.
I disagree. Crazy it's ones.
Probably his daughter.
No, he doesn't have any daughters.
Says your mom. I'm going to stop with the mom comments, I promise.
You're doing great, man. Glad I brought you back in here. Jesus Christ.
I could say the same.
How about this? Paranormal Activity 5 is going to be in 3D. That kind of takes away from the found footage element, don't you think? You don't think so?
That pisses me off beyond... I can't even...
Well, I mean, can it... Yeah, dude, it can't be found footage if it's 3D, right?
It can. 3D films have to be done right. So many times I go to the theater to watch a 3D film, and it's done wrong. Oren Peli may know how to do it right, but that pisses me off to learn that the new one's going to be in 3D.
How about this? NBA, you're a fan of the Constantine, are you? The show?
You should know.
Dead. It's gone.
And not technically, they just stopped production on the NBC.
You're going to be okay with that?
On the NBC side. Yeah, because it deserves to be on fucking cable anyway.
Is it,
when they try to team it right after Grimm on NBC.
Grimm's the fairy tale thing?
Yeah. People have enough Grimm on their mind. They're not going to go right over to Constantine. Have you watched this Constantine on NBC yet?
No.
Worth your time.
Freddy vs. Jason has been released to the Nintendo Entertainment System. It's basically, don't get your panties in a bunch, you jack off. It's basically just a hacked version of the original Friday the 13th game. All it is there's a Freddy skin for it now, so you get to play as Freddy and you run around. How the hell are you going to play it on the Nintendo Entertainment System? You can't, unless you still have one.
You don't?
No. What you can do is go to Shop Flashback Games and download it to your computer. It costs about $40.
Oh, those emulators or the...
Pretty much. Yeah. I don't know, man. I had the Friday the 13th Nintendo game. It did nothing but piss me off all the time.
You know what was a good NES game?
Huh?
That Ghostbusters. You remember ever playing that?
No.
Fucking difficult as all hell.
Fucking shit! Fuck! Ghostbusters! Fuck!
I know, I watched the movie, and I'm like, hey, Bill Murray, why you gotta make your game so damn difficult?
The UK's ITV has commissioned a new Jekyll and Hyde series. This one is more like a crime drama. It's gonna have, like, zombies and vampires and all that shit. And then Dr. Jekyll is going to solve the case. And then Mr. Hyde is going to go and battle the whatever.
Who's playing?
Don't know. Probably some British dude.
Constantine did it right with that dude that brought over from Britain.
Okay. So he's British, that guy? That plays Constantine, yeah. I assume? Does he speak with a British accent? I don't know about that shit, man.
Why?
I don't know.
Because you can't understand it?
Nope.
I remember asking my ex to get me the Office.
The Ricky Gervais? When
it first came out.
Yeah.
She gets me the foreign version, the Ricky Gervais version.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, okay. So I end up watching. The first time all the way through, I'm enjoying because I like the Ricky Gervais's. But it's hard to understand the jokes when you're used to watching it on the, you know, American side.
Mm-hmm.
Second time through, laugh my ass off just about every freaking joke because I could hear what they were saying. I got used to what they were saying.
So did you have to watch Constantine twice?
No, that guy's dreamy.
Alrighty. Hey, as long as you're having fun, man. That's all that matters.
They do. Well, Constantine's a fucking smoker, too. That's what pisses me off. I'm watching this show and I'm like, what? I know you're smoking, Constantine. I don't want to go out and have my smoke, too.
So it pisses you off because he's a smoker?
Well, he was a smoker.
Why don't you just quit smoking?
I am.
It's 2014. That's a disgusting habit. You're a disgusting person.
That's the pot calling me black.
I am a bot. That's all I got on the horror news, man. You got anything else?
You guys should watch Constantine so that they could pick it up somewhere.
Did you read the comic books?
I wasn't like into them, but I know enough about them that I know that this Constantine on NBC does a legit job, a lot better than that Keanu Reeves.
You didn't like the Keanu Reeves movie?
I enjoyed it for what it was once I realized that I could distance myself from the actual Constantine.
Did you like it or not, you fucking nutsack? What the hell are you talking about?
Initially, I didn't.
That Keanu Reeves movie's a catastrophe. I enjoyed it. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Dualism.
Yeah, that's you.
It's so, a fucking balance.
Okay, did you like it or not? It's a yes or no question. Don't have me come across this table. Listener mail, you fucking clown.
Listener mail.
Alrighty, we got the emails here. Let's start it off with our main man, Kevin, coming in from Tokyo, Japan. No subject line this time. Hey, Darian. Glad to hear the Comic-Con went mostly well. Looking forward to listening to whatever got recorded. Horror trivia sounds entertaining. Yeah, I put that out Friday, so you should have it by now, Kev. The oddest thing about comforting skin is the box art on Amazon Prime is very different than the Netflix. Just an observation when I was looking up streaming services to play it on. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, Kevin. When you go to IMDb, the art for it there is way different than that thing on Netflix. I think if the art that you're looking at is the same one that I saw on IMDb. It's like a weird oil painting. That one looks a lot better and makes the movie seem a lot better, too. The actual movie was meh, a so-so movie. Leatherface versus Damien Thorne. Agree with you there. Chainsaws are hard to beat in a face-to-face fight. So he's taking Leatherface. Hattiger Brothers versus the Birds. The swarm of birds would overwhelm the brothers. Vote goes to the Birds. Yeah, with you on that one, Kevin. Kevin or at Lonely Bob. See who's up next here. Our old friend Crease coming in with the Crease Barrage.
Crease.
Subject line, a conversation with my sister. In quotes, did you send the email yet saying the movie bored you to sleep? So it wasn't terrible. It just wasn't anything new. I fell asleep a couple of times, asked her what was going on at one point, fell asleep during the explanation. Wasn't really compelled to watch it again. I'm not sure if my horror movie tolerance has gone up, No, tried watching Comforting Skin again. Still wasn't feeling it. Hopefully it's not terminal. She's talking about last week's immersion therapy, The Damned. Not a bad show. We'll get more into it on immersion therapy. Chris, I think you may suffer from narcolepsy. Maybe you should look into that. Or just get a better night's sleep, because it sounds like she falls asleep during every movie she watches.
You've never fallen asleep during a movie?
Yeah, I'm sure I have.
What's the last movie you fell asleep to?
Eyes Wide Shut.
That's like Nicole Kidman?
Yeah, it's like a 3-hour movie. And I was on painkillers at the time, so there's that.
That helps.
Yep.
Mine was Bug.
Bug?
Took me 3 different tries to watch that. Kept falling asleep with the first half. Now, love me some Michael Shannon.
It's a good show, Bug.
Yeah, it is.
Really gets into like the tweakers.
Yeah, you get to, yeah.
Ooh. You know, is he tweaking or is he really, does something do all this conspiracy crap? Who knows?
Michael Shannon is one of the greatest actors of our time.
He's good stuff. Kreese coming in again. Subject line, Terradome. Voting for Leatherface, don't see Damien going too far against real threats. Unless the voting gets rigged. Yeah, you never know these days, Kreese. Voting for Birds, because inbred cannibals are not terribly smart and may not do well against a birdemic or a smart crow or two. That's the truth, man. That's it for the emails. Let's see what's going on the old mental health hotline. Looks like we got the usual suspects this week. I believe this one is probably Alan.
Padded room, what's up? Hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. I enjoyed the Comic-Con panel.
Nice.
It was pretty good stuff. Finally, somebody agrees with me that the stoner in a house, cabin in the woods was a little punk bitch.
I agree.
And
fuck that guy.
Terradome, give me Leatherface and the Hattigers. Because like I said before, birds are stupid. That's all I got. Have a good one. Bye.
Well, I mean, they are stupid, but, you know, you get a bunch of them together, you got a serious problem. And if they're all, like, in attack mode or whatever, not only are they going to attack you, but there's a good chance they're going to poop on your car, which makes it even worse. So fuck the birds, but I understand where you're coming from there, Alan. Let's see what old GP has to say here.
Hey, GP. Let's see. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
I did.
I certainly did.
You are a chef.
I didn't participate in immersion therapy.
We're losing you, GP.
I know it's an excuse. I'm in my
Hey, GP.
I don't.
In the words of the glorious Virgin Mary, come again.
I'm not getting any of this.
He's trying.
He doesn't know that he's fading out, so.
Just wait till he gets GP.
So, yeah, I had so much fun watching my Eagles kick the Cowgirls' ass. I watched it.
Those Feagles?
Record it, and I watched it again. So, I heard that to the immersion therapy. So, let's see. Something I wanted to say about Comforting Skin. X-Files did it first. X-Files did the thing where Scully got a tattoo. And actually, there was a guy before that had a tattoo. And
it was something about the X-Files?
Skull and Bones tattoo. I thought he was talking about the movie.
He's talking about Comforting Skin.
Was there a tattoo in there?
I will go. Damien Thorne over Leatherface, because Damien Thorne, all he has to do is give Leatherface a stink eye, and Leatherface will trip over and go down onto his
Okay, he's got Damien.
And for teams,
because of the attack dog.
I'll go Birds.
Birds.
Yeah, I guess that's it. I will fix you all
You'll fix your phone connection is what you're going to do.
All right, GP. Not sure exactly what you said there, but thanks for calling in. We did get your votes, and I heard something about the Eagles beating the Cowboys, so we got that going for us. That was a nasty game. You watch that one?
I hate the Cowboys.
Me too. Not a fan. Very cool, GP. Let's should we give you some votes in last week's Terror Dome match? What do you got?
I tweeted a them.
What?
I tweeted a of them.
Okay, great. What were they?
Oh, you didn't see it?
Not yet.
Damien's.
You're taking Damien. I'm giving you two for this one and one for this week's matches. And then what do you think about the Birds versus the Hattigers?
Some of you may know how I feel about my Alfred Hitchcocks. I think he's a fucking hack. But I'll take the Birds.
Birds.
Bird. Birds is the words.
Very cool. That was it for the listener. Man, let me check the tweeter one time. Since you brought it up, make sure that we didn't exclude anybody last minute.
That's one of us.
I've been having a nasty pod affair with another podcaster via Twitter.
What about?
She's on another podcast, and it's her and another dude. So this is kind of lurid.
That's the best guide.
I shall not be revealing my pod affair, Twitter pod affair, to horror.
You've told enough.
Horror pod Twitter affair. Nope. Well, wait a minute. Oh, that's you. Okay, very cool. Let's get into a movie then. Made a mountain out of a minute. I called your name from the other side. Hey, hi. Hi. Good morning.
Hello. Anyone out there? Hello?
Hello?
No hope. Communications down.
Virus spurs paranoid and unwitting hosts. Avoid anyone with black eyes or black blood.
You go out every single day. You've never seen a survivor. You leave me every day. I'm here all alone.
You can't go out there. Every single time I walk out that door, I don't know if I'm going to come back.
Then don't go.
Then we'll starve. The only way to win is by outlasting them.
Every mark on that fridge is one of them.
They're out here. They're coming.
All they want to do is kill you.
What happened? Did anyone touch you? No!
Look into my eyes.
Trust me.
Okay, we're talking about Dead Within from 2014, starring Dean Chekvala, J. Claude Deering, and Rick Fetterman. Directed by Ben Wagner and written by Matthew Bradford. So what you have here, kids, you start off with a very poignant music montage of two fucking hipster, yuppie-esque couples having dinner and cocktails together. And then as soon as the music cuts off, you get into a darkened area where one couple is still there, and they have barricaded this. They call it a house, but it seemed more like a shack to me. They've barricaded it, and there's apparently some kind of a major pandemic going on outside. Now, we don't get much of an explanation as to what exactly is going on outside, but it comes into play later. So at this point,
not to cut you off, but do you think it was their original house or did they find something else?
I kind of was kind of under the impression that it was the first couple's house because they had all the baby stuff there. You know what I'm saying?
Because that wasn't their baby?
No, I don't believe so. So what I'm thinking is whatever this outbreak was that happened, it happened during dinner. And they, because they're there, they had to just stay there and barricade.
Well, yeah,
place.
You get that flashback scene over dinner.
Yeah.
Which was cool.
So now we're in some kind of a post-apocalyptic situation where they either can't or shouldn't leave this structure for their own protection. They've got it all barricaded up, the bed's boarded up and everything, all that shit. What happens from there is we get kind of a snapshot as to the day-to-day lives of these two. The couple consists of Mike and Kim. I don't know, how do you describe... I don't want to use the word hipster, but I don't know how else to describe them. And I'm not basing that strictly on his beard. I think it has
it
more
to... It was a shaggy-style beard.
More to do with just the way that they're kind of going about things. Like... There's kind of a prevalence that they just don't want to admit that there's anything wrong outside.
They had a hippie vibe to me.
Well, yeah, I mean, you saw what they were doing to the place with all the murals and
the
greasy paintings and shit
they're
like that.
They're not hipsters, but they're hippies.
Hippiesters? Aha! Put that in your urban dictionary.
How do you spell that?
I don't know. I'll get back to you on that. So from there, what we're seeing is that periodically, as their supplies run low, Mike has to go outside during the day and scavenge for more shit. Now, this is painting us a very rosy picture of the post-apocalypse because, with the exception of one or two attempts, nobody's really trying to get into the house to get at them. So it's not like a full-on zombie apocalypse. Plus, they still have running water. They're taking showers. They have nice candlelit dinners and things like that. The problem is that Kim, whilst Mike is out scavenging all day, is slowly coming unraveled mentally. From there, we get kind of a snapshot via some kind of a computer printout or something as to what this shit really is. We find out that it's some kind of an infection, and what it basically turns you into a serial, like a kind of like a 28 days later infected type. Infected with rage, makes your eyes go black and your blood turns black also. So that's how we know who's infected and who's not. Black eyes, black blood, bad business. You don't want any part of it. So Mike keeps going out during the day for supplies. And every time he comes back, he's got more stories about how he got attacked by this guy, this little girl, and he puts little check marks on the refrigerator for every infected that he killed. If you look at their refrigerator, you'll notice that one set of the hash marks is circled, and the red, there's probably like 40 or 50 hash marks on it. So
only one set was circled?
That I saw, yeah.
Interesting.
Did you think there was more?
I didn't even see any fucking circled.
Oh, yeah. There was one up towards the top that was circled. We find out why later. So he's going out. Every time he goes out, he has to go farther and farther to find supplies, which means he's gone longer and longer. During one of these outings, they get a message over their radio from somebody calling himself Ranger Mark Brandt. And at first, he seems like an all right dude. You know, he explains that they are, you know, making rescue efforts and they've got a small colony together and they'll come get them. Before they do that, though, they need to make sure that she's not infected. They're dealing exclusively with Kim at this point because Mike is out looking for supplies.
Ranger Mark?
The funny thing is that this Ranger Mark guy seems to know a little bit more about Kim than he should. Hmm. Like he keeps asking her what she's wearing. You know, stuff like, at one point he asked her if she's fat. I guess they don't want any fat chicks in their new colony.
When did you stop trusting Ranger Mark?
I never really started. Because, was it just me or did it sound like there was two voices coming over that radio?
Yeah.
You think so? It seemed like there was more than one Ranger Mark, and that's kind of nutty. Plus, I got a flashback from Dawn of the Dead when the bikers were talking to the SWAT team guys. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I didn't make that connection.
They're like, yeah, there's two of us, and there's like 35 bikers in a van. You lion sacks of shit. You got Tom Savini in there. I can hear him. So the funny thing, though, is that when Mike comes back, Kim doesn't mention anything about Ranger Mark. They just go on about their candlelit dinners. And, you know, having a pretty good life inside this weird shack. Like, Kim is trying to learn how to play the guitar, and she does the dishes. At one point, she sends Mike out for dish soap, which seems kind of preposterous to me. And rightfully so, man. I mean, come on. You're in the middle of an apocalypse.
You didn't get the dish soap? You didn't get
the dish soap? Who gives a fuck about dish soap?
I know.
Jesus Christ.
I know. I forgot the dish soap.
So
I know we need it, but maybe it just wasn't where I was looking.
Do you really need the dish soap? Not really. Have you seen The Walking Dead? Do you think any of those guys are doing dishes? No. So from there, things just kind of escalate. Mike leaves again. This time he has some idea about finding them a better place to live, maybe someplace on the beach or something like that. He's gone for a couple of days this time. And now Kim's mental state is really wearing thin. She's kind of painted these murals all over the walls in the shack. One of them is like a big fat cat. And every time Mike leaves, she starts talking to this picture of a cat.
Wilson!
So that's kind of weird. She also has like these weird kind of fucking, I guess they're like delusions or something, where like all the paintings start moving on the walls. Hallucinatory.
What you got in that purple dress?
Yeah. Hallucinations. That's kind of nutty. Conversations with Ranger Mark continue, and he continues to get more and more creepy. Now he's asking her about, like, well, is she a good person or a bad person? She's a bad person. I know she's a bad person. It really gets fucking weird and kind of invasive with this Ranger Mark guy. And what's even stranger is he makes no allusions as to when or how or if they're actually going to come rescue them. Now, at this point in the movie, I was pretty much drawing the conclusion that Kim's come undone.
Did you catch that slip up when she called him Ranger Mike?
Yeah. I was kind of leaning towards maybe there is no apocalypse. It's all this is just happening in her head, and she's like some kind of a homeless person or something like that, or a crazy cat lady. Could be a crazy cat lady too. You know, they don't operate.
Been there.
So things are getting worse and worse with Kim. She, at that point, Mike's been gone for at least a good 24 hours. It's now nighttime, and something is now trying to get into the shack.
What about when she was looking at that little peephole, and she said that she saw somebody out there just as Mike was coming back?
Yeah.
Did you see somebody out there? Did you rewind it?
I couldn't really tell.
I tried to rewind it, and then I was like, I still can't fucking see anybody, so I only round it once.
Well, there was the one with the little girl, right?
I didn't fucking see that.
Yeah. Maybe that's the one you're thinking of. Because there's outside? One where she, yeah, there's one where she sees a little girl, and she's like way off, like, you know, 50 yards out, and then she like, camera pans back to her, and then it pans back out, and the little girl's like right up at the people.
Oh, fuck that. I saw that.
Yeah, that's the one.
I didn't see her in the distance.
Yeah.
Fuck that. There's
that one. Now, Mike comes back, and now we get a very kind of frantic dialogue as to what's going on here. So, and I may be wrong about this. I'm jumping to some very forlorn conclusions, but I am under the impression that during that dinner montage with which we saw at the opening, the couple that actually owns the shack or lived there became infected and attacked Kim and Mike. Kim and Mike had to kill those two, and then we found out that couple had a baby. Had to kill the baby, too, because the baby was infected. That's pretty fucked up, but that is really tearing away at Kim's psyche. She kind of copes with it because she still has a lot of the baby toys kind of hidden in a cabinet, and every now and then when Mike's out, she takes them out and just kind of plays with them and, you know, kind of like she's talking to the baby.
What about that cabinet that's latched up that she had to cut?
That's the one with the baby toys in it. She takes them out and plays with them, and she puts them back. Then Mike leaves the next day, and she opens it, and they're gone. She kind of freaks right out because she thinks that Mike took the baby toys with him, which is kind of fucked up, but not really because they don't have a baby. And he's not really privy to her mental state at this point since he's always gone. So that's kind of fucked up. And she's having these weird visions like, at one point, she opens the cabinet again, and she actually sees the baby in the cabinet, alive and well, but then it kind of goes into demon freak-out mode and lunges at her. Then she snaps out of it, and she's okay. So we get intermittent, like, visions of different infected things, like, attacking her that probably are or aren't there. We can't really tell at this point. Now, that night is when there's a major attack. Well, we assume there's a major attack on this shack. A lot of beating at the doors, and they have some skylights, and the infected get up on the roof, and they're like beating on the skylights. And she's freaking out and screaming at him. She doesn't really have any way of protecting herself there by herself. All she has is a baseball bat and a machete, which I guess is better than nothing. But Mike has a shotgun, and he's out there running around somewhere. So we got that going for us. All of a sudden, this major attack just stops, and then the radio comes back on, and it's Ranger Mark again. This time, he's being a real cocksucker to her. He's like, "You're a bad person, Kimmy. You know you're a bad person. Why are you a bad person?" And she's like screaming at the fucking radio, "I'm not a bad person." One of the underlying themes of this entire movie is that they had to be very quiet in the shack there so as to not draw the infected to them. Now she's freaking out and hitting walls with baseball bats and screaming into this radio. Nothing good is going to come of this, my friends. From there, we cut to the next morning. Mike actually does make it back. She is now gone into full-on insanity mode. Now, one thing that we kind of glazed over here is that they have like a running password between them as to who can and can't get into the shack. And it's usually a 70s funk or heavy metal song in the way of a secret knock. Like the first one, I think, was Iron Man by Black Sabbath. Second one was Mina Gata De Vita or something. Anyway, they have to do the secret knock in order for the other person to let them in. Mike comes back. He's been gone a couple of days. He doesn't remember the fucking knock. Now, she can see him right through the peephole. You can see his eyeballs. They're not black. But she is just freaking out because he can't remember the fucking knock.
They're not?
No.
Maybe not the whole time.
What are you talking about?
You didn't catch him turn black outside when she was looking at him?
No. Ooh. Didn't look black to me, man. Either way, he's clearly in control of his faculties. He's having a conversation with her, retelling events of their past so that she knows that's him, but she still won't let him in because he can't remember the knock. Now, as he's out there trying to talk his way back into the shack, we start to hear the infected running around out there with him. He freaks out, runs around the side of the shack, kind of pushes the boards open on one of the windows and starts to come in.
Kind of pushes?
Yeah.
Didn't he fucking break that thing down with like an axe?
Well, if he had an axe, well, he might have. I don't know.
Is this during the day?
Yeah.
Yeah, he pushed, I'm sure, but he broke through.
Okay. So.
Did he not?
I don't remember. I just remember him coming through. Yeah. Anyway, this she wasn't overturns.
The night where you saw the hands come through that little window in the.
I don't. The fucking timeline on this thing is jacked off, because it's like cutting back to flashbacks, and then you don't know how much time has gone by because it's all you're following her the whole time, and her sense of time is just jacked up because she's crazy. He manages to push through. She overturns a table and slams it up against the window. He gets his hand through, but she's got a pair of bolt cutters and whacks a couple of his fingers off.
That was not pretty.
That was fucked up. I mean, that was a lot of blood there. From there, he kind of goes unconscious. Or no, he actually kicks in the door to the kitchen, starts walking in. She sneaks up behind him with a baseball bat and hits him in the head. From there, he wakes up. He's tied to a chair. She's like screaming at him, "Look at your blood, Mike. Look at your blood." Now, we're seeing it presumably just from the camera's angles, and his blood looked red to me. What did you see?
I saw her.
Okay. Well, I'm talking about his blood. What color did you see when it showed his blood?
Well, the blood that got cut after the fingers turned... If it was red when it got cut, it turned black on the wall.
You're talking about when he was coming through the window?
No. I'm talking about when she cut off those fingers with the bolt cutter.
Right, but when he wakes up, she's got it bandaged. Right. I saw red blood. Is that what you saw?
Oh, well, probably after you bandage it, it might get red again, but I mean, when it...
Well, but she's screaming, "Look at your blood. Look at your blood. It's black." And it was clearly when red. He's
tied up to the fucking chair?
Yeah, man.
Dude, they're going back and forth in a very fucked up psychosis state. Nobody knows who's infected and who's not at that point.
I'm just saying from the camera, from what we saw on the TV,
I saw red. So did I.
Okay. So, but she's screaming about black blood and look at your eyes. Now, as this is going, like you said, we're cutting back and forth, and it's like he's there one moment, but then the color kind of goes a little bland, and you get him with the black eyes, and he's like kind of being a dickhead to her. But then you cut back to the color the way it normally is, and he's just being himself, and he's like, "What are you doing to me? You cut my fucking fingers off. My blood is red." Make a long story short, she stabs him and then goes running out into the fucking city. From there, she had like a wound on her hand. And when she gets out there and she's like, "Oh, I'm free. And she looks down and sees that the blood on her hand is actually black. And then you get the slow pan up and you see she has black eyes. Thus, she has been infected this entire time. That's pretty much a movie right there.
Well, Mike escapes, and he's about to get to her, and she fucking gets him right in the throat.
Oh, yeah, that happens, too.
That was good. That was a good scene right before.
Jacked him right in the neck.
Right before you see her fucking hand, it's black, and then pan up, black eyes. Oh! Oh! I want to make sex to this movie.
I got a total kill count of 4 on this. That does include a baby. That's pretty fucked up. Yuppies, yeah, plenty of those. Whatever got them sounds nasty. The sounds that the infected were making.
Oh.
It sounded like pterodactyls or something, right?
What about when they were on top of the roof and there was that, like, skylight?
Yeah.
And then there was just, like, blood dripping down. Oh.
And then they did, like, the 4 fingers across it. Pretty
Dude,
nasty.
What was that? You ever notice when the door opened and he would go out, there was, like, a fucking... like computer ringing, kind of a
I figured that
fucking locust, maybe.
I don't. I figured that might just be like the sound of the infected, because they had like that weird howl going on, the pterodactyl sounds, whatever that is. What else we got here? Who decorated this house? A class of 5th graders, right? I mean, it looked like a coloring book in there.
Are you talking to this room now?
No, I'm talking about the house that they lived in. It's like all weird, like sailboats. And
when the fucking like graphics started to shift.
Yeah.
Oh, that was fucking crazy.
Psychedelic. Watermelon 4 Loko out of a champagne glass. I don't know if you people have ever had 4 Loko, but it is not good. And I think watermelon may be the worst flavor.
If you drink 4 Loko, just, you know, go into it expecting you're going to end up in the gutter.
You're a homeless guy. There's no other reason for you to be drinking 4 Loko unless you're a homeless guy. I tried it once, dude. I couldn't hang with it.
Anybody who's gonna, if you're in the store and you see somebody in the cab, in the little counter buying a 4 Loko, homeless guy.
Homeless dude probably smells like a butthole.
Probably smells like a 4 Loko.
Probably. Oh, that stuff is nasty. I think Mike is a figment of her imagination. Baby trauma hits a little hard. Maybe they should try to find a real house. I don't know why they hung out in the shack that long. That place was like a 1-bedroom with a sink.
Around.
Yeah. Whatever, dude. Baby nightmare was pretty gnarly. Yep, that's pretty much all I got. What'd you think of Dead Within, man?
It was a metaphor to me.
For what?
Housewife.
So... yeah, I could see that. Like, if you had an extremely... I mean, some chicks are just made to be housewives. Mm-hmm. Like, natural mothers and things like that.
But they've got to get fucking out.
Yeah, but I mean...
she wasn't allowed to go out.
So you think they would have been better off if she had went out and done the scavenging?
They could have traded off and on.
True. So you think this whole thing was really... well... probably a heavy dose of cabin fever plus this infection. I can see that. Makes it crazy.
And I think Mike was Ranger Mark.
Then why? Why would he do that? They only had one radio, though, right?
He was pissed off that she was going to tell those people outside when she got somebody on the radio. He was pissed off that she was telling him where they were.
Okay.
And so I propose, what if he goes out there?
So this was like a big scam to see if she was going to give the address, you think? I don't know, man. Seems pretty elaborate. You can't be worried about that shit during an apocalypse. You know what I mean?
There wasn't much of a fucking switch from Ranger Mark trying to be good and checking if she was okay to all of a sudden the next time...
You're a bad person?
What are you wearing? Are you fat? Describe yourself. That describe yourself thing.
Yeah. Weird. Well, I'm more inclined to think that was just a figment of her imagination. Like some kind of a...
Could have been. Fucking...
Embodiment of her all day, you psyche.
Have all kinds of shit in imagination.
I probably would have... Yeah, you're probably right. I probably would have just left. Or at least gone with him or something, right? Fuck staying there.
Buddy system.
Buddy system, dude.
They ain't got a baby. Ain't like they got to stay at not home. Not a live baby. One. What's she protecting? The running water? That didn't last forever.
Did a shitty job of that.
Well, he stopped bringing home the dish, though.
Well, fuck me. You don't want to do dishes? Fine. No water for you.
Oh, man. Some of her dream states. Oh, when she's fucking laying in that bed and you see Mike on the counter fucking looking at her.
Oh, yeah. And he's like, didn't he say that he was dead and he wasn't coming back at that point?
No, he just said, I'm not here.
Yeah.
She was fucking imagining him there.
Yeah.
Oh!
Crazy. So you like the movie? You like the movie then?
You want me to scale it?
Yeah, give us a 1 to 10.
8.75.
It was a very rosy picture of a post-apocalypse. Running water, taking showers, having candlelit dinners.
That shit's gonna last for a little while.
I would put this... And dude, both of these people just annoyed the shit out of me. I'd give it like a 4. They're just annoying shits. What are you doing?
You're 4.
You can't be having candlelit dinners during apocalypse.
Why not?
Because.
Initially, you apocalypse. Don't think you're gonna try to... Keep some of that old life?
No, man. You go tactical immediately. I do.
That's why you're on my team.
I go tactical, baby. It's camouflage, face paint, candlelit dinner, my ass. Here's a...
Well, you see these people walking down the streets wearing a camouflage today in the city.
Here's some sludge. I see
you. Who are you trying to hide from?
Here's some sludge. Eat this. Who cares what it tastes like? No, you may not have a 4 Loko.
Might as well be drinking 4 Loko at that point anyway.
Forget it. All right, that was The Dead Within. Let's take a little break and we'll get right back to you.
Dance for the flesh on your legs. All the all meets with
And we are back. That was Dead Within from 2014. Tell you what, kids, I think it's about time we found ourselves a Padded Room podcast Twitter follow of the week. What do you think, Multiple Mics? Any names come to mind?
Well, Charles Manson.
Is he on? I seriously doubt he's on Twitter. I'll check, though. Bet you there's a bunch of assholes that have the name Charles Manson as their Twitter handle, though.
Well, yeah. It's, like his wife? What about...
At Helter Skelter, Manson Direct, Charles Manson, at Charles Manson, at
We could do the bonkers. BBC.
Oh, yeah, we haven't broke the news yet, have we?
Breaking news!
I actually already followed them since they... This just in, ladies and gentlemen, the Padded Room podcast, which you are now listening to, has been added to the BBC's list of podcasters to watch in 2015.
What?
Podcasters to watch in 2015.
Holy cow.
What does that mean?
So that means we're like into the stratosphere now.
Not a whole lot of anything, actually. I don't know what that means. That means
lists are meanings like that.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
it's big.
It's cool. I'm proud of that. I'm proud to be a part of it.
It's an official list.
We've been, it is. Let me just verify. Let me tell you what's going on here. Her name is Marcia Wright, and she is an anchor or a, I don't know what she is. Let me, TV business expert as seen on the BBC, Channel 4, and more. CEO and founder of Legacy Lever. Author of number one best-selling book, and she has been nice enough to put us on her list of podcasters to watch in 2015. Thank you very much for that, Marcia, whoever you are.
Should follow her.
I already do. I have to, since she put me on her list.
Should follow the BBC podcast list.
How about fucking... It's funny, I looked at the rest of the list.
How about just follow... Does Britain have a Twitter feed?
I doubt it.
Just follow Britain.
I looked at the rest of the list, and these are all like serious podcasts on here.
Dude, I love me.
Boomer Business.
Some BBC.
Right? The Onion is on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Entrepreneur Fitness is on the list.
This is no joke list, folks.
This is a serious list we got ourselves here.
Like Sports Nation. I may have to rethink some things in my life now.
Boy, those guys tweet a lot. Life on Fire. Don't know what that's all about, but it sounds like we're in good company.
Moving
on
this up to the east side.
Okay, so now we need a podcast Twitter follow of the week.
Who's the movies?
Who's what?
Well, we can go off a movie or we can go off one of the Terror Domes.
Who's in the Terror Dome? Let's see if Andrew Bynarski's on. Andrew anybody know how to spell Bynarski?
I know how to say it.
Bynar.
It is fun to say.
Andrew Bynum. Bynarski? I'm 99% sure I misspelled that.
You could do Hitchcock, something with the birds.
Hitchcock is dead, so I don't think he'll be tweeting. What about... let's go Liev Schreiber. He was in the Omen remake.
He's a good actor.
Liev Schreiber. At Liev Schreiber, verified.
Hey-o.
You are the Padded Room Podcast Twitter follow of the week. Let's see what he's tweeting about these days. picture of him at a baseball game.
Probably just some Schreiber business. He's leaving it up at that Schreiber business.
Picture.
You gotta make yourself laugh.
Oh, he's a Dodgers fan. I like him already.
Oh, crap.
Picture of him in a luchador mask.
Luchador.
Picture of a squirrel. Very cool. Very cool, Liev Schreiber.
Sounds fun to follow him.
That being said, I think it's time for some Terror Dome action. First First, last week's winners. In singles action, we had Leatherface versus Damien Thorne.
Ooh.
Story continues. The ambassador's body had been discovered after a month's long manhunt. Skinned, partially devoured, and left posed with barbed wire along a long-forgotten fence line. The body of his adopted son was found nearby in a drainage ditch. Cause of death was repeated hammer wounds to the cranium. With a vote of 7-4, Leatherface advances over Damien Thorne.
That fits.
Yeah, saw that one coming. In team's action, we had the birds versus the inbred cannibals. Story continues. Shotgun blasts and arrows flew into the wilderness. The cawing of birds quickly drowned out the sounds of the struggle as the last of the Hattiger brothers fell under a swarm of flapping wings. With a vote of 8-2, the birds advance over the inbred cannibals. Irma Gersh, I'm afraid this eliminates you from this year's tournament, my friend.
Oh, snap, son.
Let's take a look at the leaderboard, shall we, here? Darien, still active with Pyramid Head and the Cenobites. Multiple Mike, still in it with Dracula. Jason H. with Jason Voorhees. Sean G's alive with the Nightbreed. Kevin in Japan. The Leprechaun and the Critters still kicking. GP is in it with the Predators. Predator has been eliminated. Irma Gersh gone. Crackhouse Matt gone. Jesse B gone. Alan still alive with the Xenomorphs. It's coming down to the wire here, kids.
Oh.
We'll be crowning a champion in the coming weeks. Let's take a look at this week's matchup, shall we? As soon as I find the fucking things. Here we are. We are in the Inferno Conference, round 28. Singles division. The waters of Crystal Lake were still and lifeless, the horrors hidden beneath concealed by the moonlight. The abandoned summer camp sat silent on its shores. Its cabins were home to nothing now except stray wildlife and the odd dark tourist. All the cabins except for one. Tommy Jarvis sat restrained and unconscious in a crudely fashioned torture trap. As he comes to, an old television clicks on in a dark corner. A distorted, disembodied voice explains that Tommy's obsession with the Crystal Lake murders is dangerous and harmful to the people around him. It also explains that the knives affixed to the at face height to the apparatus will begin closing as the timer ticks down. Tommy can protect himself by attaching a searing hot metal hockey mask to his face. The mask would leave him disfigured but alive. The burns, a crude reminder of the night he overcame his past. Tommy's initial cries for help did not go unheard. A nearby bonfire was raging, and the local graduating class were in full celebration. As they approached the abandoned cabins of the Camp Crystal Lake, a stirring from beneath the surface of the lake. In singles competition, we have Jason Voorhees versus Jigsaw. Now, we had this match last year, ladies and gentlemen, and you'll remember that I voted for Jigsaw because I think Smarts wins over Braun every day of the week. Multiple Mics, how say you?
I don't say Smarts.
You don't think Jigsaw smarter than Jason?
Intelligence.
Whatever. You want to be cute about it? Go right ahead.
Cutest thing you've seen all day.
What do you think, man?
Oh, Jigsaw.
You're taking Jigsaw. That's two for Jigsaw over Jason Voorhees. Let's take a look at the team's competition. Again, this is the Inferno Conference, round 28. London had been decimated. Since the initial meteor impact, the English countryside, the Hive Queen had spawned thousands of eggs, which led to millions of xenomorphs. Entire cities and towns had been impregnated and cocooned in a matter of days. In a secret laboratory deep in the London Underground, a group of scientists, along with some scavenging survivors, perfect what would hopefully be the key element in turning the tide on the aliens, the Rage Virus. While the serum itself made men into rage-infected lunatics, it also kept the alien facehumpers at bay. The facehumpers were unable to impregnate the infected due to the metabolic changes that were made upon infection. If they couldn't spawn, they couldn't reproduce, and if they couldn't reproduce, they would eventually die off. Quietly, the survivors are infected and let loose amongst the city to spread the infection as the scientists watch and wait. We have the xenomorphs versus the infected. I don't see how this works out for the infected, man. I got to go with the xenos.
I concur.
That's two for the xenomorphs over the infected.
Well, the predators will probably just kill the infected just to get at the fucking xenomorphs eventually.
Yeah, but they're not part of this match.
Oh, shit.
So there you go. An astute observation. Those are your Terradome matchups for the week. In singles, we have Jigsaw versus Jason Voorhees. And in teams, we have the xenomorphs versus the infected. As usual, inmates, get me your votes by next week if you can. The mental health hotline is 206-309-9117. Or you can email me at thepaddedroom2011@hotmail.com. Or you can tweet me your votes if you like, but you have to follow me first. @paddedroompod is the way to go there. That being said, how about a little, what are you looking at?
Hey, you with the face.
What are you looking at? You mother... I don't know why I even have this thing anymore.
What are you looking at?
Oh, got a few things this week. Finally got to crack open my Halloween box set.
Ooh.
The Blu-ray 15-disc extended edition. Watched Halloween from 1978. You know what I noticed, though, about the Blu-ray and the super high def?
What?
It can ruin things. You know what I mean? Like, I'm used to seeing Halloween in that gritty 70s scope where it's all kind of fuzzy and the blacks is just black and you can't see. You watch it in Blu-ray in high def, you can see through all the darkness and you can see what's going on. It might ruin a little bit for you. Still an awesome show, right? Halloween, John Carpenter.
It rarely gets better, especially knowing how he did it. He shot that shit in what, a week?
Something like that. Pretty much jump-started the slasher subgenre.
Word.
How about Inner Demons from 2014? Found footage, basically correlation between drug addiction and demonic possession. I feel like this was a much dumber version of The Taking of Deborah Logan. You saw this one. What'd you think, man?
Was it because he was eating cups?
There was some cup eating involved, which was fucking stupid.
Did you ever watch it again?
No. Just didn't feel the need to. Did you?
Well, you came in late. We had to start all over.
Yeah.
And then we're making fun of the damn thing the whole time through. It had a lot of good elements and messages in there.
The ending was pretty gnarly. I'll give you that. What else we have here? Watcher in the Attic from 1971. This one is a Japanese film. It's about a pervo that hangs out in the attic of a brothel and catches the prostitutes murder somebody. Then chaos ensues from there. Not that good. Mildly spankable if you're into Asian chicks. Lastly, The Rambler from 2013. This is the weirdest fucking movie I've seen in a long time. Stars Dermot Mulroney, basically playing the Marlboro Man. He just gets out of prison and he's trying to get to his brother's ranch in Oregon, but just has one bizarro encounter after another on his way there. At one point, he hooks up with like this mad scientist guy who says he can videotape people's dreams, but every time he tries to do it, it blows their eyes right out of their head. Pretty nutty, pretty strange. It felt like it was supposed to be directed by David Lynch or something. I don't think it was, though. Still, it's worth your time if you want to check it out.
So it had David Lynch elements to it?
It did, just in the sheer nuttiness of it. That's all I'm looking at this week. What are you looking at, Mike?
Oh, saw some movies in the old theater. Yet to see As Above, So Below. Probably gone now from the theaters.
I bet you I can find it.
Yeah, I bet you I can too.
I bet you it's going to fall off a truck pretty soon.
Probably. Those trucks come by here regularly.
They do.
I still want to see Horns.
That's a good show.
How's the quality that you got?
Good. It was really good. Every now and then when one of them falls off a truck, it'll have weird Asian subtitles at the bottom. But that one didn't. That one was nuts on. Like, yeah. I watched Ouija with weird Asian subtitles. And I think it actually made the movie better.
Probably. You needed that extra element.
I got like a little Malaysian language lesson mixed in there.
Those fucking actors probably should have learned how to speak it.
Anything else, man?
Well, I saw Fury again with my dad.
Oh, did you see it again?
It's a little bit easier the second time.
How many times have you seen it?
A little bit.
Okay. What, was it hard the first time?
Dude, that movie's intense.
Yeah.
Like, they're out camping in tents.
They're in tents. Son of a bitch.
You know, war movies, I have a hard time with war movies. I love them. It's just fucking tough.
Alrighty.
I'm going to take my dad with a little extra element there.
Okay.
But, yeah. So, long horror films. Too many.
Alrighty. That was What Are You Looking At? How about some immersion therapy?
Immersion therapy.
Last week we watched The Damned from 2013. Not a bad show. It is pretty much an episode of The Outer Limits. There's an old episode of The Outer Limits in which this basic movie takes place in about a half an hour. Basically, what happened in the episode was this guy is traveling through the countryside. His car breaks down. He takes refuge in a monastery. Within the monastery, he finds a little old man that's chained up and like kept in a cellar. So being a decent dude, he lets the old man out. And then as the old man's escaping, you realize that the old man was actually Satan. And the monks had him chained up there. Pretty much what happened here in The Damned. Not a bad show, Colombian. The little girl was pretty freaky, and once the body hopping started, where the demon is, or I guess it was a witch actually, starts jumping from body to body, that was pretty fucking gnarly. And there's some hot Latina boobies in there too. Definitely spankable, I'd say. Not a bad show.
Why does it always revert back to the boobies with you?
Only Latina boobies. Pretty good stuff, I say. Apparently, Kreese couldn't get through it, but Kreese is narcoleptic, so there's that.
I'll look up some prescriptions for you, Kreese.
Yeah, look, maybe... Have
you gone on to WebMD yet?
Throw down some Red Bull before you start the movie. What do we got here? Your immersion therapy for this week is going to be Alien Abduction from 2014, starring Catherine Sigismund and Corey Isle, directed by Maddie Beckerman. Check that out if you can, inmates. Get
Wait
with me.
Wait a second. Is this another what? Found footage one?
I don't know. I just saw it on Netflix. I think it might be.
Oh, shit.
What?
This is the one Nurse Nicole recommended.
Oh, she liked it, huh?
It's interesting.
Have you seen it already? Pretty good stuff?
It's interesting.
Alrighty. Check that out if you can, inmates. Get with me next week, and we'll compare notes. In the meantime, let's get down to some werewolf business, huh? Hey, you're picking the challenge this week, dude.
Finally.
The Company of Wolves.
700 standing calf races in 1 week.
Oh, that's a bitch.
Yeah, I did like 400 last night because I'm a slacker. A little tight today. What do you think, Mike?
After not working your calves in a while,
Yeah.
That is like the worst paid in the world to up and walk around.
Yeah, dude.
Remember to stretch, Wolfs.
Well, I did like 400 last night, but the last set I did a full 100. Just banged them out. By the time I hit
Was that the first time you were able to do a full 100?
It's the first time I've attempted.
Yeah.
I did it, but
well,
I got...
Well, you work up to it.
I got to like 80 and I was like... We can stop!
The calves be pulling!
Banging, dude. Banging. I did it. You did it. I think Kreese got it in.
Kreese is getting there.
Came pretty close, if nothing else. Cool thing about calf raises is you can do it whenever the fuck you feel like it. Now, I got all creative. I used my son and some kettlebells and added on a little weight here and there. You don't have to do that shit if you don't want to. That's me being a one-upper. Mike, what is our challenge for the week, my friend?
Well, I want to do some kind of jumping jack.
Okay. What, you want to try burpees?
We could. You'll have to show me how burpees go again.
There, a motherfucker. If we're going to do...
Are those up downs?
More or less.
Yeah.
If we're going to do that, I would set it at probably... Maybe 200.
Could do diamond push-ups.
True. We just did push-ups a couple weeks ago, though.
Wasn't that like the first challenge?
I think so.
We could do 100-second planks.
Yeah, we could do that.
Wall sits.
Could do that, too. I feel like we've been hanging in the lower body region for a week or two. We could do some dips.
Yeah.
Put your hand up on my hip. When I dip, you dip, we dip.
Yeah, yes. Because like you can do it at the edge of the couch.
You can use a chair.
On the end of your bed.
You throw your legs up if you want to get creative.
700 dip.
Dip, dip, dip. Dip, 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 dip.
Dippity, 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 dog.
All right, that's your werewolf challenge for the week. 700 dips in 1 week. I have a dip machine. Maybe I'll use that.
Does it create dips?
It does. It turns them out.
What do you put into it?
Usually ice cream, and then it gives me little dipping dots.
As a reward when you finish
that's
your
right,
dip.
That's right.
You're dipping.
Well, powers some more dips.
If there's a tube that funnels the
sometimes
dip.
I get really creative, and I put in some Copenhagen so I can dip while dipping for dips. Oh, you got to get creative.
Wolves, you better be dipping.
Dip to the dip, dip, dip.
Oh, dip.
All right, you maniacs. This has been the Padded Room Podcast. You got anything else on the week, you fucking maniac?
Stay in school.
Yeah, don't drop out of school, kids. For the Padded Room Podcast, my name is Darian. That's multiple mics, and I'm afraid visiting hours are over.
Take your sedatives.